Everything Menopause Miniseries, Part 8, Navigating Midlife Weight Gain, the Impact of Menopause on Health and How to Manage It.
The midlife and menopausal transition period are a time associated with changes in body composition and in many women, quite a lot of weight gain. We often see a loss in lean muscle mass and also bone density, as well as an accumulation of visceral adipose tissue. And all of that is linked with excess morbidity and mortality. Many women report that they're gaining this weight despite making no changes to their diet or exercise. So why does the menopause transition see this weight gain and bodily changes? And what are the implications for midlife health and beyond? And most importantly, how do we GPs help our patients who want to achieve optimum health at this often really difficult time? With us to discuss midlife weight gain in women is someone who's basically menopause royalty. She's a personal hero of mine. Professor Susan Davis is an endocrinologist. She's also the director of Monash University Women's Health Research Program. Sue, welcome back to Drive Time GP.
Thank you for having me.
So many women experience weight gain around midlife. What sort of weight gain are we talking about, and does it happen to everyone?
Most people, particularly women, will experience weight gain at midlife, and it's a really slow creep. It's sort of like 0.5 to 1 kilo a year that creeps on. And I guess when you gain 0.5 kilo, you probably think, oh, this is not much, but it sort of creeps progressively through those middle years, so that by the time women get into their 60s, they've suddenly realised they've gained quite a lot of weight.
It's a really complex issue. Can you talk to us about what is going on? Why are these women gaining this weight?
So this has been extensively studied. And in fact, if you look at the longitudinal studies, Penn Aging Study, the Swan Study, the weight gain is most correlated with age and not menopause. But what we do see specifically related to menopause is an increase in subcutaneous fat and an increase in abdominal fat and visceral fat. And of course, we know that is fat that is biologically adverse in terms of disease risk, cardiovascular disease risk. And this increase in abdominal fat can occur even if women don't absolutely gain weight. And this is due to the fall in estrogen that occurs at menopause. And not just the direct effects on fat, but a whole host of effects that estrogen loss has on women.
So what are the consequences of gaining this weight?
So central abdominal weight gain is associated with cardiovascular disease, increased risk of insulin resistance and diabetes, increased risk of dementia, and increased risk of cancers, breast cancer, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, and other cancers. So abdominal fat we know is bad. And we know this is not just because women are eating more. It's due to biological factors, environmental factors, and sociological factors as well.
So a lot of our patients are coming to us GPs to talk about their weight gain. What do you think that we should do in that consultation? Like, what should we be giving our patients in terms of advice?
Well, I think firstly reassuring them that they're not bad people, because there's a lot of guilt and shame with weight gain. And often women have tried really fad things, and reassuring them that a more pragmatic approach to weight management is better, that not to try immediate diets and rapid weight loss, because we know rapid weight loss is often followed by weight gain. And I think the most important thing is sort of discussing why this is occurring, explaining that when their estrogen drops, they will tend to accumulate abdominal fat, that when estrogen drops, it alters their body's ability to handle sugar. So we know that glucose disposal in muscle diminishes after menopause. And also, loss of estrogen actually affects our body's response to satiety. So animal studies show that when animals are deprived of estrogen, they tend to be less active and eat more. So I think if women understand what's going on, they're more able to then work with you as a doctor to address this.
Can we talk about protein and the role of protein in the diet, particularly when it comes to weight gain? If you're on TikTok or Instagram, you'll be hearing that you've got to have more protein. You basically got to turn yourself into a protein molecule in order to lose weight. It can be really difficult to get the right amount of protein into the diet. What do we need in terms of protein? Like, what is the actual science, and what are your tips to get more protein into the diet for women at this stage of life?
Well, women need protein for satiety. They need protein to maintain their muscle mass. They need protein to keep their body healthy. So I encourage women not to weigh and measure everything, but rather to make sure that with each meal, they have some protein. And protein gives you more satiety than carbohydrate. So you're less likely to be hungry between meals and snack if they're eating protein. The other thing is, you know, women are avoiding full cream dairy. But in fact, full cream dairy is very, very healthy. And studies done in Scandinavia actually have shown that women who drink full cream milk or have full cream yogurt, for example, have lower cholesterol levels, and it's better for them than having all the synthesized dairy products that are available. So again, I encourage people, if you can't catch or kill it or grow it, don't eat it.
I love that advice. Can we talk about skeletal muscle mass? Because we know that women start to lose that as they transition through menopause. How important is it for us to maintain our skeletal muscle mass, both in terms of well-being, but also in terms of weight? And how much does protein in the diet play a role in maintaining that skeletal muscle mass?
Look, protein's important, and it's pretty hard in Australia to get a protein-free diet. But critically for skeletal muscle mass is physical activity. And we know, for example, that women who lose weight, particularly with the new regimens and drugs for weight loss, that women will lose muscle as well as losing fat. And there's dramatic loss in muscle with the new drugs that are being used. And people are looking at ways to counteract that, not just by protein in the diet, but by good, solid physical activity. And as women get older, women are doing less physical activity than perhaps they have done in their younger years. Major loss of muscle mass doesn't really start to occur until women are in their 60s, and that's when we see progressive increases in sarcopenia. But it all goes into a bundle. It's not just one issue. The health, the weight gain, the diet, the physical activity are all things that impact issues like cardiovascular function, bone health, muscle function, and disease risk as women progress to later in life. So rather than just focusing on weight, I really see healthy lifestyle at midlife being the opportunity to turn the ship around for the second half of your life. And not just focusing on one particular issue, but focusing on the whole health package.
It's such great advice. You did mention exercise. I did want to drill down on that. Do you think that there is a best exercise for midlife women around menopause? What's your advice?
So firstly, women have this belief that if they go to the gym twice a week, that's going to counteract the whole day sitting, working in a sedentary job, or that Pilates is heavy-duty exercise. Women need to do cardiometabolic exercise where they're actually working up a sweat, and that means, you know, at least 150 minutes a week of doing something where you actually burn calories. That's not just to burn the calories, but that's to get your VO2 max up, to get your cardiac function going, to get your circulation moving. We need the cardiometabolic exercise. Then women need the exercise that's going to keep their muscles and their bones strong. And what we know from work done from Robin Daly's group in Melbourne at Deakin and La Trobe is that you need multimodal exercise. So exercise that improves core strength, because it's core strength that stops you falling over and getting a fracture. You need exercise for balance, and you need exercise that is impact for your bones. So bone strength is from impact exercise, like hopping or jumping or skipping or jogging. So a leisurely walk is nice and good for a woman, but is not the exercise we want women to be doing to be healthy. So there's getting the heart rate up, the VO2 max up, the bone strengthening and the muscle strengthening and the core strengthening. So multiple modes of exercise is important.
So a lot of the women that I see day to day, they're really busy at work, they've got a lot on in their lives, and some of them have got really nasty menopause symptoms as well. You know, they might be having some vasomotor symptoms, they've got some joint pains, they might not be sleeping that well. And it feels like a really tall order to say, right, we're going to start today, we've got to really take this exercise very seriously, and we need multimodal exercise. What are your tips for us GPs to have that conversation with our patients to actually motivate them to do it? Because I see a lot of resistance and a lot of reasons why women can't at this stage.
So I think there are two issues here. One issue is if you've never been an exerciser, it's very hard to start at midlife. And two, at this stage of life, as we know, women have so many responsibilities and being pulled in so many different directions and feel obliged to be caring and nurturing other people. So one, convincing women it is okay to take time for themselves. That's the first thing. And get someone else to cook dinner or do the shopping or, you know, it is okay to delegate household responsibilities, because if they fall over, the rest of the family is going to probably fall over. So that's the first thing. Take time for yourself. And for exercise, I really encourage women to find something they enjoy. It's hard doing exercise if you don't enjoy it. Try and find a social group that you can exercise with, an exercise club, or something where you can go and actually get more than the exercise out of it, but some social side. So you actually end up wanting to go for the social engagement as much as the exercise. And there are so many groups. There are park groups happening now. There are cycling groups. There are swimming groups. I know swimming's not the perfect exercise, but if you engage in one exercise, you're probably going to engage in others. So they're my tips.
I love that. And I remember at the International Menopause Society Congress where Robin Daly, that you just mentioned, in his session, he was talking about snackable exercise. He was saying you could just do 10 minutes at a time if you're really busy and just get up from your desk and do 10 minutes at a time. I thought that was really great advice for a very busy person. You're probably not going to work up a sweat in 10 minutes. One of the things that I hear as well, Sue, is lots of my patients are quite nervous about menopause hormone therapy because they say it's going to cause weight gain. What do the studies tell us, and what should we be telling our patients?
This is probably the easiest question you've asked me. Hormone replacement therapy in every single study is associated with less weight gain than placebo. And I think one of the nicest studies that showed this was a study in which women were randomized to oral estrogen and progestin versus placebo for 3 years to see if estrogen would prevent heart disease in women with existing disease. And the women who got the oral estrogen and progestin gained less weight, had less increase in waist circumference, and overall had a less increase in their BMI because of the less weight gain. So estrogen protects against weight gain at menopause. And that's really one of the most positive things to come out of many of the studies done.
Yes, great information. So thanks for explaining the complex area of weight gain in menopause and perimenopause. Can you leave us with the most important points that you would like GPs to take home from our chat today?
As a GP, it's often considered confrontational to raise the issue of a patient's weight. But in fact, it's really important to talk to women about their concerns about their weight. And I often ask women if their weight is stable, and that opens the question. It is really important to not make them ashamed of their weight, and also for them not to go off onto crazy diets, etc., and to offer advice where they can feel that they can come back to you and open the discussion again. I mean, this is a very sort of vague answer, but I just think having the conversation is okay.
I love that. Professor Susan Davis, thanks so much for joining us on Drive Time GP.
Thank you for having me.
This series, discussing the latest advice in menopause management, is brought to you with the support of Bazons Healthcare, the makers of Slynder and Estragel Pro, Estragel and Prometrium for menopause hormone therapy. The substantiating references, links to relevant resources, and product information can be obtained from the Drive Time Radio website, produced February 2025. The views expressed are those of the individual speakers and may not represent those of the supporting organisation or Drive Time Radio Australia Proprietary Limited.